Wednesday afternoon, time for our bi-monthly conversation with MIBiz senior writer Mark Sanchez. The craft beverage industry may or may not get a boost from legislators in Lansing as they work their way through this lame duck session.
In may or maybe is the key are the key words there, depending on where you sit. This is a 15-bill package of legislation introduced in Lansing. It passed the state Senate in late November, now in lame duck session under consideration in the state House. This comes to us in a story by our editor at MIBiz, Joe Boomgard, in this week's edition. It's really a package of bills that would change the rules for the craft beverage industry, for the craft beer makers, the wine producers, the spirits, and the distilleries out there. And bottom line, one of the changes it would make is we've seen a number of these craft brew tap rooms opening kind of satellite, for lack of a better word, location, where they just simply transfer their beer from one location to the other and they serve there. They open up second and third rooms. That's going to be a target of this legislation because these bills would really put some mandates and production mandates and minimum equipment standards for those secondary tasting rooms for the craft brew industry. That's going to add cost as well as shift the ability to produce wine and cider. So you're seeing this come down, and there's also some aspects of the bill that would really expand the economic opportunity by allowing the distillers to serve and charge patrons for full pours of their spirits and for their cocktails in their tasting rooms. Under the present law, they're only allowed to give small samples. So those are a couple of the significant changes in these bills, and the real target is kind of these secondary rooms that some craft brewers that opened up, some of the folks, mostly distributors, say, you know, they're not really brewing there. And there are those purists in the industry that say part of what the craft brewing is about is to really kind of show off that brewing capability. And if all you're doing is serving there, that's really not keeping up with the intent. The laws are out there. They're still under consideration in the legislature, and they would bring some fairly good-sized changes to the industry here in Michigan.
The genesis of this debate, when did this begin?
This is something, well, hate to use the word brewing, for it sounds like quite a bit of time, and perhaps it's really a reflection of the maturation of the industry and where it's come and where it's going here in Michigan. It's come into a pretty big industry over the last decade in the state, as we've seen so many of these craft brewers open, and the wine industry in Michigan has been growing for 20 years. We're now seeing more distilleries. So it's been coming, and it's backed by the Michigan Beer and Wine Wholesalers Association and some of the other groups out there. And interesting enough, a lot of the craft brewers are not too worked up about this. But that also comes to the point of, again, depending on where you sit. If you have one of these secondary or third tap rooms, yeah, this is an issue for you, but not a lot of, a whole lot. Some have, but not a whole lot of craft brewers have opened up these secondary rooms.
You and I have been working our entire lives. We've worked for a number of organizations, and at every stop along the way, there's always a culture and organizational traditions. You're taking a look at a survey that says employers value culture as a key to talent attraction.
Yeah, this is an annual survey done by the Employers Association here in the Grand Rapids. Surveys its members, what did you adjust pay this year? What are you adjusting pay next year? Basically, for 2018, average pay increases about 2.5% to 3.5%. 2019, that's about the same that they're looking at, 2.5% to 3.5%. That's average. Some areas, some professions are doing better. Some are doing a little less. But in talking to Dave Smith over there at the Employers Association, they said there's really been somewhat of a shift. You know, we hear so much today about a tight labor market, low unemployment, and the difficulty workers or difficulty employers of all size have in finding workers. And what Dave tells us in doing this survey over the years, he's seen a shift in the last few years where, yes, you have to pay good, solid wages to attract talent and keep them. Yes, maybe you have to pay a little more today to get somebody in-house, to get them to come to your place. But what really keeps a person in a job is that workplace environment, the workplace culture. And it sounds simple, but it's not always so easy to pull off for some folks and some employers. And in talking to Dave, he says, create a great workplace culture, create a place that folks love coming to work each day, and you'll keep them. And any employer will tell you, if you don't have to go out and spend that time hiring, and replacing folks who move on to another position elsewhere, that's time you're focused on the business, you're focused on customers, you're focused on innovation, you're focused on other areas of the business other than having to replace those individuals who move on.
That's always a leadership issue because it's the leader who charts the course and decides what approach to use. So what are the recommendations for leadership to, if they're running a tight ship, how to loosen up a little bit?
Well, in that term, loosen up a little bit, again, you know, we talked in the previous story, the beauty's in the eye of the beholder. What makes a great workplace culture? You know, you're into a generation that wants that flex time, that better balance between home and work, better balance between work and family, the ability to have a just that physical environment of the space you're actually in. You're seeing less of those cubes that so many people ridiculed during the 80s and 90s. So sometimes it's hard to define, but the companies that you see out there that are doing it well, they tend to have low retention rates, and they're the companies that folks want to work for. You see more of these lists out there each year, the best companies to work for in Michigan and America. So sometimes that's not easily defined. It's really, again, the beauty is in the eye of the beholder. What to each individual makes a great workplace culture? But we do know, and you hear this in talking to a younger generation, they're not big on that top-down management. They're not big on that authority figure. They want to engage. They want to learn. They want to do. They want to learn by doing. They want responsibility. So the world has changed over the years since, Patrick, you and I were young, and we had some of that different type of workplace culture when we first started in the workforce. The bottom line, based on some of the results and what David, the Employers Association, says, focus on that workplace culture. Create that great place for people to come and work each day, and you have a much better chance of keeping them on the job, and they don't go running down the street for that next job for a little bigger paycheck.
And everybody works differently, and in the end, it's really all about fit. Well, we are in the holiday season, and it's also the season for economic forecasts.
Yeah, we're beginning to work on our year-end edition as well. So we've been out talking to some of the economists lately. And one of the outlooks we saw yesterday from Jim Robey at the Upjohn Institute down in Kalamazoo, he was here in town yesterday speaking at the Right Place Inc. event. Basically, what we hear from economists is slower growth ahead, both for the U.S. and Michigan in 2019. This economic expansion of the U.S. is going to move into record territory in 2019. But we're seeing some data align that shows slower growth. No recession just yet in any of the forecasts I've seen. But toward the end of 2019, growth is really going to be slowing down. And then one economist I talked to, Robert Dye at Comerica, he says that's going to make a year from now the economy much more vulnerable. So 2020, again, I don't see any predictions yet for a recession. But in late 2019 into 2020, there's more vulnerability out there.
I have to imagine that these economists are looking at these three areas: tariffs, the automotive industry, and housing.
Yep, auto slowing down a bit. Most of the forecasts, 16.8 million units from 17.1. So that's a bit of a slowdown, not huge. One economist, a gentleman yesterday, Jim Robey at the Right Place event, so that's actually getting back to normal trends. Housing's beginning to ease up a little bit. Tariffs is a question. If we really get into a slugfest with China, what's that going to do with the economy? I hear that a lot from the business owners and CEOs we talk to here at MIBiz. And interest rate. There's an expectation that those are going to continue going up. That's going to make credit and capital a little more expensive for businesses that have to borrow. That may play into a little bit of the slowing as well. And we'll find out more about that. The Federal Reserve Open Market Committee meets next week. A lot of predictions that there will be another quarter point increase. But we'll see for the longer term into 2019 what interest rates will do.
Our reporter Daniel Booth was at that event, and it was interesting. The quote that he pulled from Mr. Robey was something along the lines of talking ourselves into a recession.
Yeah, that really jumped out at you, didn't it? That self-fulfilling prophecy. And of course, the media gets blamed for it, of course. Yeah, this is on the minds of a lot of folks. I hear this a lot from people. How much can this continue? How much longer can this expansion last? Businesses are beginning to plan for that we're no longer going to be in the expansion, that the economy is going to take a dip eventually. But at the same time, he's got some good points there. Let's not talk ourselves into a downturn. Let's go on business as usual. obviously be aware of what's going on, be aware of the data, but let's not go talk ourselves into a downturn just to do it.
MIBiz senior reporter Mark Sanchez, thank you so much.
Thank you. Talk to you again.